We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Now they want to know what John had to say, and so they sent around to see John and talk to him, investigate, and he bare witness to the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I said, ye might be saved. He is, that is, John the Baptist, a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. In other words, he said, now just look at what I've done. I broke up a funeral, raised a widow's son, went to the tomb of Lazarus and he's dead 4 days, brought him back to life, performed miracles. One night the sea was raging and I calmed it. You see what I've done. Just judge me by my works. And he was saving people, delivering people from the devil, setting men free. He must have been all right. He must have been God. Anybody would know if the record's true that he must have been somebody. There's no excuse for the world rejecting Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, God told us about him. He told us he was to be born of a virgin. Told us he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And all the things we need to know were told us in the Old Testament. Then he came. And condemnation has come into the world because light came and men wouldn't have the light because their deeds were evil. There wasn't anything the matter with Jesus. The trouble was with man. Now remember that. He came into the world. There wasn't any question about it. Now, I said, you asked John about me. You could have been satisfied with just your way. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of it me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent. Him ye believe not. Now notice these two verses especially, 37 and 38. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. In other words, the trouble's with you. That's always a trouble. You just haven't had any experience, that's all. You're just not right. That's the reason you don't accept Jesus. That's the reason you don't accept him. You're just not right. You talk about honest doubters. You know, Jesus said, he that willeth to do his will shall know of the doctrine. Now, if you will to do, the man who wants to know can know. God Almighty never left a man in darkness whose heart longed to know. Anybody that really wants to know can know. You know, people say, I'm an honest doubter. Why, there's no such thing as honest doubt. If you're an honest doubter, you can get it all cleared up. Just come around and see God and talk it over with him. Because if you will to do his will, if in your heart you will to do the will of God, you shall know. You can know. Why, I've seen infidels converted. I've seen atheists converted, agnostics converted. And I've seen them converted in just a moment, just a second. Deliberately trusting Christ, committing themselves to it, and they'd be saved. Dr. Torrey, who was a great scholar, graduate of Yale, a wonderful preacher, clear, exponent of the Scripture, preached around the world. I heard him say when I was a young man that he had never seen an atheist, an infidel, an agnostic, or a skeptic who would honestly come and say, now, O God, if there is a God, if Jesus Christ is your son and you'll make it known to me, I'll accept him. He said he'd never known a man that would honestly say that lived in doubt. You don't have to be tossed about upon a doubtful sea in life. You can know this thing. Anybody just stops to think. The trouble's not that the truth isn't here, but the trouble is you have no truth in your heart that gives you an affinity for this truth. Now that's the trouble. You're just not right. Now, that's what he said. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which our Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. My works. Why hasn't there been another Jesus Christ? Why hasn't somebody else seen a funeral on the way to the grave and walked up and touched a bier and brought back that boy? Why hasn't somebody else calmed the troubled waves of a sea in the midst of a storm? Why hasn't somebody else slept while the wind was blowing and the sea was raging? Why hasn't somebody else talked like Jesus told? Take all the philosophers, take all the men of the world. There's never been but one Jesus Christ. You can compare some men with another man. You can compare Lee and Grant. You can compare Lincoln with some other president. You can compare Plato with some other philosopher. But you can't compare Jesus with anybody else. There's just one Jesus Christ. You can't compare what he said with anybody else. You can't compare what he did with anybody else. There's just one. Here's a person that never said, I think. He never said, this is my opinion. He never said, this may be so. He never said that. He just said, I say unto you, and when he said it, there wasn't anything else to say. Take the statement, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now you take that statement. You can't add anything to it. That's all to be said about it. Now, of course, he wasn't telling you how to have a pure heart. He was announcing a principle. He was saying the pure in heart see God. Now, the Bible tells you how you can have a pure heart. But you can't add anything to that statement. You can write volumes about it. You can preach sermons about it. I have a sermon I preach for years in the evangelistic way, going, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I started with a text and came back to the text to wind up. You can't add anything to it. It's there. A man with a pure heart sees God. The man whose heart isn't pure does not see God. Now, you might ask, what is a pure heart? You might ask how to get a pure heart. The Bible will tell you somewhere. But for the depth of that statement, simple, clear, explicit statement, you can't add anything to it. Now, the things he did and the things he said prove him to be God. So if the folks had had an affinity for it, they wouldn't have been in trouble about it. Now, let's notice the next verse. But I have greater witness than that of John, he says. Yet for the works which that Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Now wait. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. They had no experience. They weren't in touch with God. They didn't know God. That's the reason they didn't accept Jesus. They just didn't know God, that's all. And ye have not his word abiding you, for whom he has sent him, ye believe not. In other words, he says, if you had known the Father, if you were right, if you had had a Christian experience, if the word was in you, you'd believe on me that I'm sent from God. I am the truth, he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. The way, the truth, the life. All right? Now, I said, you would believe on me if you had truth in you. I've told you so many times, you can't say it too much because it illustrates it so well. You know, a man who loves music, you don't have selling music. You just go to playing and singing. He sits there. Now, you may be a Christian singer, and he may be an infidel sinner. But if he has music in his heart and you sing a song, he may not believe in your God or your religion, but he listens to your song. If it's a good voice, he knows it, and he has an ear for it. If he's a pianist and you're a pianist and you sit down and play, his ear's tuned to what you're playing. He may not know the God you believe in or the life you live, but he has music in him. The thing is in him that's in you. That's music. And he responds to the music. You go into an art gallery and look at a great painting. Now, I'm not an artist. I don't know much about it. But I look at a painting sometime and stand there and say, well, that's a great picture. Some expert, well-trained artist might see something I don't see, but appeals to me. You heard of a great painter one time, and walked into the studio and looked at it, a great masterpiece, and he stood there for a moment, kept looking, and a shadow came over his face. And he said to himself, I never have painted a picture like that. I never can paint a picture like that. I couldn't do what that man did. But he said, I'm a painter too. It was in his heart. He couldn't produce it. He couldn't put it on canvas, but it was in him. And he was stood there fascinated by the work of the art that he saw. Now, Jesus said here, if the word was in you, the truth was in you, you'd believe on me. That's true. Well, I've learned that in my experience as a preacher. You know, I told you one time here, maybe two or three times in the last few years, I may have said something like this to you. I can go to any town in this country and open an evangelistic campaign, and the born-again spiritual people respond to my ministry. because they have in their heart what I'm putting into the pulpit. The message I bring is a message that God put in their hearts. And the Bible says that. The Bible says, they that know God hear us. They that know God. If they know God, they hear the gospel. They accept it. And they say, that man's given us a gospel. That's the message. And they are sold on the gospel. Now, they may not be sold on the preacher's style. They may not be sold on his technique. They may not be sold on how he looks. They may not be sold on the quality of his voice. But they're sold on the message. And born-again Christian people won't kick around born-again preachers that are giving the gospel. Now, you get that straight. Listen just a minute. Bob Jones University has been here in this community, winning souls to Christ, sending out his preachers, putting on his programs. Who's for us in this country? The born-again people of God. You know, everybody talking about heaven ain't going to heaven, the fellow said, you know. You know, it's a pretty serious thing. Now, Jesus stands up and indicts his crowd. He said, if you had truth in you, you'd believe on me. Now, the Bible says, if you know God, you hear us. When a man exalts Jesus, the fellow says, well, thank God. Isn't it wonderful how Jesus is being held up? Isn't it wonderful? He's talking about our Lord. It's my Lord he's talking about. If I was standing out here sometime preaching and complimenting your lovely child and said, oh, you have such a wonderful child, and made a nice speech about it, you'd have an ear for that, wouldn't you? If I was talking about your sweetheart being beautiful and attractive, you'd listen, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, he sure is a nice man, and he has good taste, too, don't you? Wouldn't you say that? Of course you would. I'd be talking about your sweetheart. Well, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, if he's your Savior, and we said out here and exalt him and magnify him and try to get people to accept him, you are for us. The Bible says so. Now, don't fool yourself. I'm for any preacher in the world, anywhere, that exalts Jesus Christ. Now, there may be some things about the preacher that doesn't appeal to me. But if I'm sure he's preaching the gospel, I'm for the gospel he preaches. And I'm for the message. And it may not be my style, it may not be my way. Now, I'm not for compromise. I'm not for a preacher compromising or delivering the glorious gospel program into the hands of sinners and liberals to carry on. I'm not for that. Because they'll dilute it and poison it if they can and corrupt the ministry. I'm not saying about that. But when a Christian man tells a sinner that Jesus Christ died for him, is able to save him, trying to win souls to Christ, I'm for it. Now, Jesus may declare here, he said, now, if you had the truth in you, you'd believe me. It just isn't in you, that's all. You just haven't seen God. You haven't known anybody's shape of God. You know nothing about it. And that's the reason you're against me. You blind leaders of the blind. That's what they were. You Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders in this country. You religious bosses here in Israel. You just don't know God, that's all. And yet you're supposed to be leading the people, and you're leading them into the ditch to fall in there. And that's what happened in A.D. 70 under Titus when Jerusalem was destroyed. May God help us to see it. Oh, Lord God, help the folks who are listening in, having the truth in their hearts, to trust Jesus now, and help those that have this truth to be faithful to our Lord. And we pray in his name. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.